Okay, so our reading comes from Luke chapter 3, verses 1 to 22. In the fifth year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, Herod, tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip, tetrarch of Etruria, and Trachonitis, and Lysanias, tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the country around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill made low. The crooked roads shall become straight and rough ways smooth, and all people will see God's salvation. John said to the crowds coming out to be baptized by him, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you that out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe has been laid to the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. What should we do then? The crowd asked. John answered, anyone who has two shirts should share with the one who has none, and anyone who has food should do the same. Even tax collectors came to be baptized. Teacher, they asked, what should we do? Don't collect any more than you're required to, he told them. Then some soldiers asked him, what should we do? He replied, don't extort money and don't accuse people falsely. Be content with your pay. The people were waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Messiah. John answered them all, I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I will come, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn. But he will burn up with the chaff. He will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. And with many other words, John exhorted the people and proclaimed the good news to them. But when John rebuked Herod, the tetrarch, because of his marriage to Herodias, his brother's wife, and all the other evil things he had done, Herod added this to them all. He locked John up in prison. When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven. You are my son, whom I love, and with you I am well pleased.
Thank you so much, Katie Beth. That's beautifully read. And let's pray before I try and share something of worth from this morning. Let's pray. Lord God, as we come to the scriptures, which are just foundational for us in our walk with you and in our faith, we pray that we would have ears to hear and eyes to see and hearts that are ready to respond. And pray that for each of us in this passage, which speaks of your voice speaking to John, bringing a word, speaking to Jesus and affirming him as your child. We pray that amidst my words, Lord, that you would speak to each of us this morning. Amen. Amen. So this morning, We are in Luke 3, and as you will know, because Casey's just read it, but we're jumping forward a couple of decades from our message last week. Leon spoke about Jesus as the boy in the temple when he was just a young boy, sort of ending up in the Jerusalem temple with the teachers of the law and his parents, not knowing where he is, worried sick, and then finding him there in the temple in his father's house. But this week we jump on a couple of decades right to the start of Jesus's ministry as a man. But it begins with this amazing scene of John the Baptist, Jesus's cousin, firstly getting this word in the wilderness to take a message of repentance for the forgiveness of sins out into the countryside to the people. And I wanted to start with a question, really, because this passage is incredibly confrontational, isn't it? I mean, there are no holds barred. It makes me think of the book, How to Win Friends and Influence People, quite an old book now. I don't know whether anyone's read it, but John clearly didn't. Obviously, it was written way after his time, but, you know, he's not taken many of the lessons from that book. He couldn't have written that book, could he? John is in your face. He is confrontational. And my question, I wanted to start with a question, which is this. Have you ever been confronted by someone? Not just in, you know, not in an aggressive way, although you might have felt like it was, but in a way where you knew they had your best interests at heart. Yet it was really difficult because they were bringing some home truths to you. I have, I can think of a few occasions in my life where someone has really confronted me because they've seen a better future for me, because they've seen I'm not being all I could be. And they've brought some home truths that were really difficult to hear, but were ultimately for a better future for me. And I don't know whether you've experienced that. I'm sure many of you will have done. But confrontation has this ability to shake us up, to stir things, to shock us out of our slumber, out of the status quo. And at the start of this passage, that's what John does. He receives the word of God in the wilderness, and then he comes out into the countryside and he brings it to the people, and he brings it, and he does bring it. He calls them a brood of vipers. Who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Don't think that you can rely on your family name. You know, don't say, you know, where we've got Abraham as our father. God can raise up children for Abraham. And so John brings this incredibly confrontational message and this call to repentance. Now, this is really important. I think repentance is such a misunderstood word, and it is such a needed word. We need to be able to repent. We need to be able to turn from ways that are wrong, that are unhelpful, and to be set right again. And there's a longing in our society for that as well, for people to be restored, for people to be healed, for people to be able to turn from old ways. And it's a word that in so much of Christianity is so loaded down with guilt. And of course, there's an essence of guilt when we've wronged. But the word is so much richer than that. John is calling the people to turn from ways of injustice and unrighteousness. And you'll see as we go on, you know, Luke's gospel is really unique in its dealings with John. In the other gospels, we hear about John, this man in the wilderness, and it tells us about his appearance and all this kind of stuff. There's none of that in Luke's gospel. Luke isn't concerned with John the man so much as the message of the man. And we get a much fuller account of the things that John said in Luke's gospel. And it's really interesting that John, we get these three groups of people saying to John, well, what shall we do then? How shall we respond? Firstly, the crowd. And he says, the one with two tunics should share with him who has none. And the one with food should do the same. And then the tax collectors say, what should we do? And he says, don't collect more than you're required to. And then some soldiers say, what should we do? And he says, don't extort money and don't accuse people falsely. Be content with your pay. This isn't the kind of repentance that we can become accustomed to in our day, which is, or that I've experienced a lot of, which is really important, but is not what John's getting at here. It's not just these personal, it's not personal moral failure. It's much bigger than that. It's much bigger than that. This has implications for society. This is about ethics. This is about righteousness. It's about justice. And it's about fairness. These are the things that God is concerned about. This is the message of the prophets of old, of Isaiah and Jeremiah, who are concerned about God's people, the lack of righteousness and justice in their community. Because they were God's people. They were God's light, God's city on a hill, God's light to the nations. And John is calling the people back to that again, to righteousness and justice and fairness. And at the start of a new year for us, what are the things, John talked about it in communion there. Are we ready to be confronted with the things in our lives that aren't necessarily the way they should be? Because this isn't a one-time event, is it? Repentance is a lifelong journey. There's a lifelong turning from old ways that we slip back into and turning back to God, to turning back to righteousness and justice and fairness. And maybe at the start of this year, the start of the year is a good time to do this, but to continue throughout the year, of course. What are the things that we need to turn from and turn back to? Are there areas that we need in our lives that we need to turn from, that repent of, and to receive forgiveness? This is a positive thing in so many ways. It's about receiving something as well as turning from something, receiving the forgiveness that is ours, that is offered to us, receiving healing. This is a gift. And so John calls people to baptism as a sign of this, as a beginning. And that's what it is. Baptism is a beginning. It's the start of a journey. It's not the end. It's a foundation, in a sense, preparing the way for what's to come. And that is what John was called to do. A voice of one in the wilderness, preparing the way for the Lord. And so in many ways, baptism and repentance are the start of a journey. They're the start of preparing the way for something greater that is to come. And when the crowd wonder, is John the Christ? He says, oh no, I baptize you with water, but there's more. There's one to come who is going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Now, Amy and I have a little story. We have now renovated two homes that we've moved into. We've had an amazing privilege of being able to do that. And the first one we renovated was a little flat we bought up in Kingsdown, which is up near Cottam. And we bought this flat that no one else was really, it was a time where properties were flying off the market and no one was really looking at this place because it was this two-bed masonette and it was in terrible shape. No heating, it needed complete new electrics, it needed a new bathroom and a new kitchen, it smelled of smoke because the people that had lived there had been lifelong smokers in the flat, and it was just in a complete state. We bought this flat and the first thing we had to do was strip it of all its old things. We didn't do this in one go. We did it bit by bit. But we had to scrub down the walls. We had to remove wallpaper. We had to get rid of old electric radiators and all kinds of other things. But that wasn't the end goal. The end goal wasn't just to remove all the old stuff, all the stuff that made it unfit and uninhabitable to live in. The goal was that it would be filled with new life, with a new heating system, with new electrics, with new beautiful paint on the walls. And in a similar way, John wasn't the end goal. John called people to repentance, to turn from old ways, to turn from the unrighteousness and injustice that they'd fallen into, I guess, or not even fallen into, that they'd willfully adopted in their community and in their lives. But that was just a beginning. And John said, there's one coming who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Yes, there is someone at the door. Sorry about that. Fire that purifies, that burns away the chaff in our lives, that removes the old, the impurities, and sets things right. And the one John was talking about, of course, is Jesus. And Jesus comes on the scene and perhaps in some ways, surprisingly, is baptized. But also not surprisingly, because Jesus came in solidarity with us. And when Jesus is baptized, he starts to pray. And when he prays, Jesus receives the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit descends on him like a dove. And then he hears a voice saying, "This is my son, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased." And it's interesting that the story goes on that the Spirit then leads Jesus out into the wilderness. Firstly, the Spirit affirms Jesus, names Jesus. "This is my son, whom I love. One who is delighted in." And that is a necessary beginning for all that is to come in Jesus's life and ministry, as Jesus is led in, firstly into the wilderness for testing, but then into all that he will face down the line. But the Spirit doesn't just affirm Jesus and test him or send him into the wilderness for testing. As we get into Luke chapter 4, we see Jesus in the synagogue and Jesus says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim freedom for prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, and to release the oppressed and proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." So there's this baptism in water that comes from John, but then there's this baptism in the Spirit that propels us, that empowers us to go out to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, to see the oppressed released and freedom for those in prison. And it reminds me again of our renovation project. When we changed our flat, we got rid of the old, but we also filled it with the new. We, like I say, we painted the walls. We got a new sofa. We did all this stuff. And the reason was this, that it was a home for us, but it was also to be a place of hospitality for others. It was a place, it wasn't just for our family. It was a place that we could bring others into and for some to be a home from home, but just to bless people and to be hospitable to people. And so the Spirit comes upon Jesus, not just for him, but to empower him to bring God's salvation to others. And that takes us back to the start of John chapter 3. Luke chapter 3, sorry, where John is given this word in the wilderness. And it says, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah, "A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord. And all mankind will see God's salvation. And that is the end goal, if you like, that that John's baptism was to prepare the way for one who was to come. And the one who is to come will bring God's salvation to all mankind. And so this baptism in the Spirit was not just for the benefit of the individual, but as a display of God's glory, to see the oppressed released and those in prison freed. That can sound a little bit far from our experience at times, can't it? We don't have that. I've never had a dove descend on me and the voice from heaven. And later on, we'll see that the Holy Spirit can come in dramatic power upon people and change people's lives. But the truth is that the Holy Spirit works in all kinds of ways. It can come as gentle as a dove. You may not even notice that the Spirit is working your life, but know that the Spirit is at work in your life. And so today I've got a few questions for us. Firstly, are you willing to be, at the start of this new year, are you willing to be confronted by the good news? Are you willing to ask, what do I need to do? If you don't know how to do that, a great psalm to use to help you is Psalm 139, verses 23 to 24. Search me, O God, and know me. Are we willing to be confronted? Are we willing to make room for the Holy Spirit in our lives to affirm us as God's children? In Romans, it says, the Spirit testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Are we willing to be led by the Spirit? You might feel like you're in a wilderness place at the moment, and that can be really hard. But in the Bible, the wilderness isn't the worst place you can be. It's a place that God can speak to you, that can give you a message, that give you a word. It's a place that the Spirit might lead you in and bring you through and teach you lessons. But the Spirit also propels us out, and the Spirit uses us to, as a display of God's glory, that all mankind would know and see God's salvation. And a great question to ask is, Lord, what do you want me to do today? Spirit of God, what do you want to empower me to do today that all mankind would know your salvation? Let's pray. Lord God, thank you at the start of this new year for new life. Thank you for the gift of repentance, for the opportunity to turn from old ways and to embrace all that you've called us to be. And I pray today for those of us that need the challenge, that need the confrontation, that we're in habits and stuck in ways that aren't good and helpful, that you would reveal that to us and help us to turn from those things, that we would embrace righteousness and justice and humility. And Lord, we thank you too that that is just the start, that you call us to much more. You call us to be those who partake in the work of your kingdom, and that you empower us by your Spirit, that you affirm us as your children, and that you empower us to be salt and light in the world, to see people freed, captives freed, prisoners freed, set free. And may we have the courage, Lord, to embrace the call to be your people today. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing our final song this morning.